Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
The Chicken Sisters! Miss Broiler, Miss Fryer, Miss Roaster, Miss Capernette, Miss Stewart, and old Madam Hen. But we're spotlighting Miss Roaster of the Year, measuring in at 14, 15, 14. We're roasting Miss Chicken today on The French Chef.
Hello and welcome to Taste Matters. I'm your guest host, Isabella Wojcik, and you're listening to the fabulous programming on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I wish I could say I'm sitting here with Julia Child, but I think I am in spirit. Today is August 15th, 2012. She would have been celebrating her 100th birthday, and I couldn't let the occasion go by on such an auspicious date without having that celebratory moment, talking about her life in some ways, and I couldn't think of a more fitting partner to the conversation than Julie Powell. So welcome to the conversation, Julie Powell.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Before we get started, as I mentioned, it's Julia Child's 100th birthday anniversary centenary. So let's open some champagne, shall we?
Yes, please.
All right. I'm doing this live on air, so I'm ripping open the foil. We've got a beautiful bubbly made in the champagne style. It's from Burgundy, and I know she cooked a lot with Burgundian wines and loved that part.
Sometimes she even put it in the food. Yeah.
So here we go. Woo! Woo! All right, I'm going to pour some glasses, and we're going to talk about the conversation. So why Julie Powell? My distinguished guest joins us today. I would like to say she's a household name, and certainly her blog 10 years ago, another auspicious kind of thought.
Shocking, isn't it?
Launched, you know, some wonderful fans that turned into a book for you that later became adapted by Nora Ephron into a movie of the same name, Julie and Julia. And I think, you know, we're enjoying this renaissance in her memory, in Julia Child's spirit, in the way that she taught us to cook and eat. You're certainly having, you know, a major part of that. So I just feel like it's a very wonderful moment to think about Julia, to talk about food, and to have you here with us. So welcome, Julie Powell.
Thanks a lot.
And have a glass.
Please, please. Ah, lovely.
All right, here we go. I'm a slow, I can't pour and talk, obviously.
No, it's very difficult.
So here we go.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you for joining us. So, Julie, let's get started. Julia Child is our kind of inspiration for today. Julia Child, you know, there are so many people that are going to be talking about her and writing about her today, especially from people who have written other biographies about her, from people who knew her, from all sorts of, you know, cooking instructors, fans. I mean, I think it's just a wonderful day in the universe today. So, you're Julie Powell, the blog 10 years ago, Julie and Julia. Why don't we get started by talking about, I was supposed to talk about Julia Child, wasn't I, before I get to your blog, because she did inspire you. So just to recap super briefly, household name, a wonderful cooking instructor, you know, California born, Smith College educated, and met Paul Child, her husband, in the OSS, you know, post World War II, in Ceylon, which is now, I believe, Sri Lanka. He was cultured, older by a decade, introduced her, brought her to France, Paris, introduced her to his appreciation of food, knowledge, culture, art. And together they formed this incredible relationship, this incredible marriage, this partnership that then produced, you know, luckily, Julia was able to find her passion and pursue it relentlessly, which is cooking, teaching, eating, enjoying it with friends, studied at Le Cordon Bleu, formed a cooking school with her colleagues, girlfriends that she met. And over the course of 10 years, with Simone Beck and Louisette Berthold and Julia Child, the three musketeers, you know, over a course of 10 years, which meant she also was traveling and relocated to Cambridge, finally the fruits of all that love, passion, interest, cooking, you know, formulated this manuscript, this incredible manuscript, now the published book, Mastering the Art of French Cooking. I think the initial response was an overwhelming kind of, we don't, you know, American publishers don't know what to do with it. I think it was so bold and so ambitious, and it was so unique. It's a book that now is 50 years old, and I think it's still very relevant to anyone who's interested in food and techniques and the classics. But I think I can't imagine in the world that it was kind of just being born into at that time, housewives being told, get out of the kitchen, cut corners, you know, canned things, preserve things. James Beard famously kind of wrote against all of that. Like, don't leave the kitchen as soon as you can, stay in it. Mm-hmm. It could be fun. It could be an adventure. And she was also up against, a little bit later, the health movement. Mm-hmm. So here's this manuscript, incredibly wrought with techniques and heavy and large and voluminous. And that's the inspiration for your work. So let's get into that. Sure. Did you watch any Julia Child growing up? Do you have any kind of connections to her prior to even this book? Or tell us why this book?
Well, I had never watched an episode of a Julia Child show before I started the project.
Heresy.
At all. I know. I don't know how it happened. I mean, I knew about the Dan Aykroyd thing. I knew, but that was pretty much it.
The famous parody, right?
The famous Dan Aykroyd.
Save the liver.
So my experience with her prior to the project was the book. My mother, she was one of the women that picked up that book as a young woman, and occasionally tried to cook out of it. I remember it mostly lived in the pantry, mm-hmm. and came out once a year for, you know, the bœuf bourguignon for the office party or whatever. But I was a kid, was incredibly picky. I was the worst child. I would not have eaten a single thing in Mastering the Art of French Cooking. I mean, I wouldn't have eaten anything in it, but I was an incredible bookworm. So I came to the book at a young age, at maybe 10, obsessed with it as a book, with obsessed with, you know, the weight of it, the objectness of it, the drawings and the French words. It all seemed very sort of adult and almost illicit and mysterious. And so that was my impression of the book from early childhood, that it was this important thing, it was this adult thing, that I was almost invading every time I looked at it. Then as I grew up and I went to school and I started getting interested in food and cooking, and that became an interest all through my 20s.
Just as a hobby, I'm
just
assuming.
Absolutely.
Not as a professional.
Oh, no, not at all. Okay. Everyone should know I am the last thing from a professional cook in any way. I diddled around in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And so I was, you know, it's in New York and all throughout my 20s, being very frustrated, as 20-somethings in New York can be, working terrible jobs and feeling, you know, that feeling that you get when you've been in New York where you really want to leave and you really hate it, and it's all like terrible commutes and terrible apartments and misery, but you can't leave until you've accomplished something with your life. And through all that time, cooking was something that I came to see as a comfort and would occasionally think, well, maybe I should make this into a career somehow. But I just felt like I didn't see any way to do that. And we talked about going to cooking school, and we didn't have the money. And then I said sort of defiantly to Eric one day, my husband, well, if I wanted to learn to cook, I would just cook my way through Mastering the Art of French Cooking. Because it is, I mean, it's one of the great things about the book, aside from it being genius, one of the geniuses of the book is the way it's constructed. Cooking through it really would be like taking a class, mm-hmm. in French technique, because of the way it's structured. You know, every chapter goes from the most simple to the, you know, and builds technique after technique after technique, so that by the end you're making bouillabaisse when you started with a potato leek soup. So that was certainly from a practical point of view. I think when I was thinking about it, I was like, well, this is going to be good because I'm going to learn to cook really well. What I don't think I realized when I started it And the blog thing at that point was simply an add-on. It was something to kind of keep me honest, to keep me cooking, to write every day, because you know, writing every day was part of it as well. So I wasn't thinking in terms of what other people would like to hear. I was thinking in terms of what was attractive to me and what would keep me passionate. And I think that what I didn't realize at the time was that this book had made an incredible impression upon me, far beyond the effectiveness of its recipes or its exhaustive meticulousness. Mm-hmm. That there's something, and I think that Julia doesn't always get credited enough for her writing. I think that there's something when you read the book, and it's very, you know, it's stringent and it's tight, mm-hmm. and it's not personal. It's not like right. reading, you know, Nigella Lawson or, you know, with personal stories larded in or anything like that. It's very formal. And yet there's this sort of exhortative spirit coming, permeating it, that when you read the, you know, the text of it, there's this like, it's like egging you on in this subtle way. And I think that I responded to that. It was never when I was trying, looking, casting about for a project, and I was at 29, my life was about to end because when I turned 30, it was,
of course, the end of the universe.
And now I know it's 40.
Watch it, sister, I'm over 40. And, Julia's 100.
Where was I? I wasn't looking at cookbooks and thinking, right. what would be it wasn't as if I was making a choice between several. It was only ever. I mean, it started with the book. It didn't mm-hmm. start with, I want to do a cooking project. It started with this book and picking it up and going, oh, this is something that I can be, right. you know, that I can love.
It's interesting because it seems like it's probably the most ambitious book you can pick, short of some professional cookbooks and some right. really difficult techniques that require equipment you
sure,
may not
like
have at home.
Molecular,
but,
yeah.
But I think, you know, what you're talking about, so many people felt drawn to that book once it was ultimately published, and there are a few people who championed it, Judith Jones, who was her right. editor, a number of people at Knopf who just made sure it was published, and I think against all predictabilities, it became a huge success. And that's part of what made her show, I think, so compelling.
Sure.
The French Chef initially, I think, you know, part of what makes her compelling, I think it is very much Julia Child's personality. It's her genes, it's her background, it's her experiences, this infectious enthusiasm, you know, certainly intelligence and certainly curiosity, but I think chutzpah, just that unflappability.
Absolutely.
In the face of probably some pretty big mountains and big cooking hurdles to
absolutely
overcome,
and all you know. Sorts of hurdles. I mean, I think one of the things that I, you know, especially once I started the project, this became something that was equally.
So this is the Julie and Julia project.
Yes,
right?
my Julia project. You know, I didn't know much about her before I got started, but once I did, I became more and more fascinated by her personally. And because you watch the show and you think, oh, she's funny. Oh, she's got all this energy. She's a beauty. And she's like a wonderful, zany aunt. But mm-hmm. actually, she's so much more. I mean, what I really admire about her is her just almost, you know, determination, almost, you know, obstinance. You know, her, you know, she rams through. I mean, thinking about what she did to make that book and how precisely, you know, it's 10 years of just arduous, persnickety, you know, work, that kind of
right.
tenaciousness and strength and ambition. I mean, she was a strong lady. And I think that, and that's why I love her as much as a woman, you know, as an example of how to live your life with strength and, you mm-hmm. know, really attain things, as I do for her, you know, obvious skill and you know, talents for teaching and learning. And
right.
I think she's it's her strength that awes me, and I envy it. And you know, like you said, I mean, part of it is she had great genes. I mean, she was just this tough, strong,
tall,
you know, larger than life in every sense of the word person. But it's such that that's why the book to me is more. And I know it's like corny, but it's like more than a cookbook to me. Mm-hmm. It really is an example of. It's a relic of a woman who lived life in a really tough, strong way, and you know, and as you were saying with her husband Paul, that being that relationship and the way that she was supported by him in a way that maybe a lot of men wouldn't have, you know, to
right.
like put her front and center and let her ambitions carry her and, you know, do all the things she wanted, you know,
no, absolutely.
Needed to do.
And I think, you know, you described it very beautifully. Actually, you wrote an op-ed piece in the LA Times today, about, you know, that book being more than just a cookbook. It's, you called it sort of the greatest, you know, self-help book of all time. I think what is so fascinating about all of this is certainly her personality charmed and disarmed everyone. I think her seriousness as a teacher, the incredible experience. I mean, watching some episodes of The French Chef, watching her fluidness, her just her gestures, her hands, obviously she already possessed so much experience. And I think what was impressive is that she kind of guided you through techniques. And there's a lot of food television, you know, food presence nowadays that we enjoy, and it's really entertainment. And where she came from was about education.
Absolutely.
And it was about making it, making you feel like you can do this. So encouraging,
absolutely.
Don't worry about mistakes, don't worry about any of that, like encouraging you to try it and not dumbing it down in any way,
exactly.
Not compromising. Oh, it's too hard. Let's take the easy way out of this. I think being on public television helped that she didn't have sponsors, didn't have to, you know, cut and edit.
Right.
Also,
too,
limited in that way.
It was. But it also, too, it was a brand new medium. Cooking, it's sort of, I don't like to make analogies between me and Julia Child because it makes me sound like a douche. But, but I do think she was working in a medium that nobody had thought about. I mean, not very many people at that point had,
right.
They hadn't worked out what how television and food could work together. And so she was kind of working it out as she went along with the primary goal of educating, really teaching something. Whereas now, of course, it like you said, it is entertainment. But what I think you said that very well just now. What I've always thought about Julia when I compare it to what goes on now, in the food world, not all of it, but a lot of it, especially on television, is her message was, you know, you can do this, not because I'm going to dumb it down for you, not because, you know, it's blissfully easy and you're going to, but because it's hard. It's hard, but you are a strong, intelligent person. You know, if you are determined to do something, you can do it. And I'm going to explicate that for you. I'm going to show you the direction to go, but I'm giving you a map. I'm not flying you in a plane to the end, to Bœuf Bourguignon. You still have to take the journey yourself. and I think that that's a really empowering message. And I think that's a large part of why women and men in the, you know, starting in the 60s and started going, oh, you know, these ambitious, you know, Nora Ephron talks about how they would have these sort of competitive dinner parties around that time. And, you know, they would pull out Julia Child and just, you know, try to do, because they felt empowered that this was something, like you say, that oh this isn't drudgery, this is creative, it's difficult and in an interesting way, it is challenging, and I think that she, you know, she never tried to coddle you
right
at all, and I thought that's a really important thing that you don't see much of now. I mean, you see people doing it the hard way, but you don't see a lot of people saying, come on,
the hard. They make it look easy. And I think when you don't know what you're doing and you're nervous and, you know, and certainly nervous about doing something you don't know, like they don't inspire you to do that. They don't give you the confidence the way I think Julia gave you confidence.
I mean, in the whole food porn thing, I mean, it all looks shiny and new and they have the pictures and everything looks beautiful. And that was the other thing. Even though she looked very great on TV, she also looked like a home cook. She didn't look like...
Well, she didn't look like anyone.
Well, true. Excellent point.
And let's not forget, and we'll talk about this in a moment, let's not forget, you know, the roadmap that she gave you, it all led to really delicious things.
Absolutely.
And I think that was the carrot.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be wonderful and delicious.
Yeah, let's not forget.
So we're listening, and you're listening, to Taste Matters. My guest is Julie Powell. And really, the show is celebrating Julia Child. It's the Julie and Julia show. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back to talk about more fun stuff with Julie and Julia.
Great.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Seeing a need to help people sort through all the misinformation about healthy eating, Whole Foods Market added a seventh core value: to promote the health of our stakeholders through healthy eating education. In our stores, we give you the tools you need for choosing the most nutritious foods and healthy recipes, as well as offering classes with nutritionists and cooking coaches to help inspire good health and well-being. Stop by your local store today and learn more about our Health Starts Here program and wellness clubs, or online at wholefoodsmarket.com/healthstartshere.
And we're back. Taste Matters. I'm Isabella Wojcik, and we have 10 minutes left. So just in case you're listening live, please tweet any comments or questions to Taste Matters HRN. You can certainly email to info@heritageradionetwork.org. Otherwise, listen to it forever and ever. We're celebrating kind of this moment today is Julia Child's 100th or would have been 100th birthday. I'm talking with Julie Powell. I'm loving our conversation. So, you know, the topic of what made Julia Child so fabulous, I know is exhausting. And we can keep talking about how wonderful she was. I mean, she personally inspired me when I was a kid. I was an 8-year-old immigrant from Poland. I think I was stuck at home that summer, 1977, didn't really speak English, and was watching Julia Child. So it probably was Julia Child and Company or something like that, probably her next show, you know, showing tripe and showing a cow's stomach in all its chambers and all its parts and textures, cooking something in the hearth for 16 hours. And I remember thinking, my mom doesn't cook for 16 hours anything. Like, that's not ever going to happen. But I, you know, that memory stayed with me. And now, of course, we're living at a time, and I certainly live in Brooklyn, so the center of the universe of cooking things for 16 hours or pickling things for 2 weeks or whatever. So I guess my topic now is kind of, you know, where are we? Julie's blog, the Julie and Julia Project, spawned the book. This wonderful book, Julie and Julia, Julie and Julia, My Year of Cooking Dangerously. And you have a second book out, consequently, that came out called Cleaving. And then Nora Ephron made this movie, this wonderful film, an adaptation of your book. And I think, you know, you didn't want to draw parallels to yourself and Julia, but I do think that there are some things. And I think part of it is that inspiration that Julia Child had, that so many people were inspired by her. I think, you know, that idea is very much alive in your work. But truly, your work is just a manifestation of what she would have loved to have accomplished. People being inspired, being motivated, doing something, certainly, you know, deliciously in food. Let me hear your thoughts on the movie. Were you involved in any way? I mean, I know that was Nora Ephron's adaptation. Were you?
Almost, not at all. I was a consultant, quote unquote, which meant that I had lunch with Nora Ephron a couple of times, which was
an amazing
quite an experience.
Another food.
It was, you know, it was definitely a Nora Ephronized version of things, but I mean, I think it's a great movie. She did a great job. I love the way she wove the two stories together. I would say, speaking to your prior point, that something misunderstanding that sometimes happens, I think, especially because of the way she did that. As much as I loved the weaving of the two stories back together, it tends to make people think that there is an equation between us. That whereas I think the story is more that I am just a representative of the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who went through the same journey with Julia Child's book. It's the only thing that sort of puts me in a different place is that, first of all, I was, you know, the first person, not the first person of my generation, but a person in a younger generation who did the same thing that my mother and my grandmothers and, you know, had been doing. So it's a generation removal which speaks to how Julia, you know, work continues to be relevant, as you say. So I think, but really it's just one story. You could put together a great book of various people through history and take it off into the future of, you know, people's adventures with Julia Child, and you would see the same story over and over again, I think.
No, absolutely. So let's talk about also your next book, Cleaving, came out a couple of years ago. So, you know, your first book, now second book, both very personal journeys, very much your stories. I know your Cleaving book talks about kind of your next chapter in your own personal life of, you know, butchering, pursuing the art of butchering.
Yes.
You know, personal questions in your relationship. Are you still together with Eric?
We are.
So you survived?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
cleaving.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Well, right. The book more than anything else, right? No, it's all good. But, you know, I think that I sort of, and this is maybe sounds weird, but I kind of wrote Cleaving, almost felt obligated because when I wrote Julie and Julia, and everything that happens, I write Julie and Julia is the way it was. Mm-hmm. But then by the time I'm publicizing Julie and Julia, everything has gone kind of to hell.
You're in a different place.
We're in a different place. And people are reading the book and saying, oh my God, you have the perfect relationship. It's so lovely. And meanwhile,
just like
I'm
Julie and, Julia and Paul.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, no, it's really falling apart right now. And so I almost felt I didn't want to be putting myself out there as this exemplar of the perfect couple. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be honest about, you know, how shit happens, even to very strong relationships. And, you know, people like me mostly make terrible decisions and go through terrible ordeals. And so I wrote Cleaving as a kind of answer to that, like a, mm-hmm. like don't put me on this pedestal. I think people took it in different ways, but I feel like
marriage, as happens with public figures, right? I mean, well, you became the public figure, and then it's your work is public,
right?
Know, in the
no, and people
domain.
Think they know you, and they and which is, you know, and again, I mean, I think Julia certainly. Julia Child is really interesting because people have such, and I've felt a little, like I have a small cultishly obsessed group of people who love me and think they know me. Little group of people. You know, Julia had that times, you know, 3,000. Mm-hmm. You know, she had all these people who felt so strongly about her. Mm-hmm. And you know, had her, you know, that voice and that personality, so that she really got into people's heads. And I mean, and people get angry if you mm-hmm. say, if your idea of her and their idea don't match.
Of course.
It becomes like people get very, it's funny. It's interesting. I wonder how she felt about that, because she seems to excite such just protective feelings, and like Julia Child need protecting from anything, but you know, possessive mm-hmm. sort of feelings. And I, you know, I've got to wonder what that was like for her, because it's she was clearly a much more complicated person than this sort of all-knowing, wonderful,
of course,
warm. You know, she was complicated.
Well,
so
what's next for you? I mean, this, you know, with your second book, you're clearly, you know, memoirist in some ways, chronicler, journalist of your own story, doing lots of food writing. But what do you think you'll, you know, how many autobiographical moments of your life can you chronicle?
It's true. No, I've sworn off memoirs for a little while. I promised Eric no more memoirs. I'm working on a novel right now. Mm-hmm. It's really, there's definitely a, I wouldn't say there's a food element so much as a sort of human experience of eating and you know, what sort of a food issue kind mm-hmm. of rather than. So I'm trying to get away from noveling. I always wanted to be a novelist. So from a very young age. So I'm trying to get that. It's a whole different set of skills. It makes me very nervous. I get stressed out. But yeah, I'm kind of trying to.
Well, you should probably take your own advice from Julia Child's, you know, the end of the introduction to the Mastering the Art of French Cooking that mm-hmm. talks about, you know, of course, keep your knife sharp and, you know, right. learn to use your hands. But I think something about, you know, enjoy,
exactly.
have a good time. I think that it will all come, you know,
it'll all come
together.
Out right in the end. It's a good thing to keep in mind.
Julie, thank you so much for being a guest here.
Absolutely.
On Taste Matters. We've been kind of, you know, anecdotally celebrating Julia. It's August 15th. That would have been her birthday. Why not have a moment to talk about her? And I'm so grateful for your time and the journey that you've been on and sharing that with us here. And I'm excited to think about, you know, what's next in food. Julia certainly represented, you know, a very firm conviction about French cuisine being superlative, the techniques that you need. There are no shortcuts around that. You need those basic techniques that the French cuisine, you know, the French kitchen teaches in order to do anything else beyond that. And I know as a food kind of society, we've been going through the Spanish movement. We've been going through foraging and, you know, in Denmark and I wonder what's next, but I'm hoping it's a return to La Grande Cuisine Française,
which would work.
Is always delicious.
Absolutely.
Always timeless, like Julia. Thank you, listeners. This has been Taste Matters. Next week, your regular host, Mitchell Davis, will be back, and his guest will be Christopher Hille. I believe he's the co-owner of a wonderful restaurant here in the East Village in New York called Northern Spy. Rock on. And bon appetit.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.